Okay, in the interest of full disclosure, nowhere on this presentation do we actually mention that we're part of the Kentucky Public Health Practice-Based Research Network, which we call KFRIN, which I'm representing the primary investigators, Angela Derringer, who is at the University of Kentucky, Sarah Walding, who is our practice-based partner at the Kentucky Public Health Association, and Rick Ingram is actually on the research and evaluation committee, or I don't know his exact title, at FAB. And today I'll be talking about our community outreach and Change for Diabetes program, which I'm just going to call Coach for DM for the rest of this time. I have no relationships to disclose. And this project was a part of our PBRN Research Implementation Award. And our practice-based research network in this project was funded by Robert Wood Johnson Foundation with the primary aim of this to evaluate the extent to which organizational quality improvement strategies influence the adoption and implementation of evidence-based interventions identified by the Community Guide for Preventative Services. The evidence-based intervention we're evaluating is based on the recommendation of Diabetes Self-Management Education, or DSME, and I apologize, I'm going to throw out a lot of acronyms at you all, that's provided for adults with type 2 diabetes in community gathering places. So a little bit about Kentucky. One of the reasons why we chose to focus on diabetes was because of the great burden of the illness in the state. Roughly 10% of all Kentuckians have a diagnosis of type 2 diabetes, and this continues to increase, making Kentucky ninth in the nation, even though we only have a population of about 4 million. And it's the sixth leading cause of death in the state. And additionally, 40% of all Kentuckians are pre-diabetic, making us at a huge risk of developing it in the future. And of course, the cost of diabetes are astronomical. So in 2006, the state legislature funded pilot sites for Diabetes Centers of Excellence, or DCOs, as I'll call them, in six local public health departments. And these DCOs were established with a primary purpose to empower adults with diabetes to make responsible choices and behavioral changes related to self-management of their diabetes. And so the overall purpose of our project was to test whether evidence-based strategies lead to system changes and process improvements within health departments. And primarily today I'll be talking about what their comfort level and knowledge of quality improvement was, not what specific quality improvement projects they did. But in order to facilitate this process, each DCO, we provided a facilitator in designing and implementing a quality improvement project. So each local health department had their own quality improvement project that they designed to improve the delivery of their existing DSME services. And the methods for system change we utilized to see if there was a difference was an assessment of readiness for system level change, an assessment of what their current practice is, establishing a process for improved service delivery, and evaluating the new process or system. Our study participants included staff members of the six DCOs, and each DCO had a QI team and designated a QI champion who served as the primary contact person and coordinated all their meetings. And some were a lot more involved, and some of the ones that had historically had been involved with QI projects in the past weren't as involved as we would have liked to have been, so it was really an interesting process. The study protocol included a tailored QI facilitation and what we call change facilitators. And these individuals are employed by the University of Kentucky Center for Clinical and Translational Research. And they also work with our agriculture extensions. We've got a huge network within our state and our REACH agencies. And each change facilitator had had previous experience and training in the facilitation of quality improvement. In particular, they've been involved with substance abuse projects in the past. They'd received training through the Agency for Healthcare and Research Quality, ARC, in Putting Prevention into Practice model, the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, QI, Collaborative, the Michigan QI Guidebook, so it was nice that we had two Michigan ladies before us, and Applied Qualitative Methodology and Regulatory Compliance in QI Research. And each change facilitator has participated in further QI facilitation areas, not only substance abuse, but diabetes with our physician practice-based research network. So we have like six different research networks in Kentucky, including pharmacy, dentistry, substance abuse, and I'm forgetting the others. But they've done this work throughout the state. So after the initial enrollment visit, each DECO received three half-day facilitation sessions, which were led by trained change facilitators. And the facilitators traveled to each DECO site for these sessions. Now, some of their drives were a lot longer. It takes about 12 hours or 10 if you're driving really fast to get from one side of the state to the other. And in addition, each facilitator maintained weekly contact with a QI champion or a designated team member throughout the study. After completing the facilitation sessions, each site had about 9 months to complete the QI project. So we just recently got these results back. Session one included them completing a readiness for change instrument, which was a modified version of the assessment of chronic illness care, an assessment of what their current QI practices are, an overview of QI methods and tools, and this session also has specific focus on PDSA cycle. A lot of these people that participated are nurses as well, so they had some familiarity with it, but it was interesting. The one QI method they had the most familiarity with was brainstorming, which we were sort of introduced to that concept in middle school. And they were also asked about root cause analysis, cause effect, logic models, flow mapping. And further training was tailored specifically to what each QI team felt their specific needs and what they ultimately preferred. In the second and third sessions, the facilitators assisted the QI team members in working through PDSA cycles, helping guide the team as they made modifications to their project plans and providing additional QI training as needed. And this was our overall logic model and framework for our project. And I'll speak a little bit about how we were assessing the overall outcomes. So we looked at the effectiveness of systems-based QI methods, looking at process improvement, systems-level change, and knowledge and comfort in QI. And to make these assessments, we utilized a pre- and post-intervention survey, as well as post-session evaluations and direct observation. We also assessed the impact of our DECO's capacity, looking at changes of the number of people that are enrolled in DECO and those receiving DSME services. What was interesting during this time period was several of our local health departments were flooded out, had inclement snow, so some of the numbers may not reflect what would actually happen in a typical year, but we had a lot of weather extremes. We also looked at the number of referrals received by healthcare providers and care coordination with patients' primary care providers. We'll be looking at changes in service delivery, which they had some really interesting additional locations, and where they were offering it, the method, and for how long. Okay, So our specific survey tools, the surveys ask participants to rank their knowledge and comfort level using QI in general, and then with specific QI tools on a Likert scale, with one as no knowledge of that tool or comfort, and five with high knowledge or comfort. So our pre-intervention survey, respondents reported very high levels of knowledge and comfort of QI in general. However, when they were asked about specific tools, there was a pretty low comfort and knowledge level. And in particular, we were surprised that it being such a high level of nurses that were involved and one health department in general that is heavily involved in QI and it's embedded throughout their local health department, how low their response rate was for PDSA in particular, with roughly 41% of respondents ranking themselves of having no knowledge of PDSA cycles. So the good thing is that their knowledge improved for all the tools. And in particular for PDSA, they all had higher knowledge, and fishbone analysis as well as flow mapping. Following participation in the project, we asked participants about change in their knowledge of QI in general, and roughly 91% reported an increase. And when we asked about comfort level, it was nice, all of them had an increased comfort. And in PDSA, no one felt initially that they had a high comfort, but as they went through the process, that was one of the areas we saw an amazing increase. Root cause analysis is still on the low side with comfort level, but there was a slight improvement with that, and fishbone and flow mapping. And this may have depended on their specific QI team, what they felt most comfortable learning, so they may have not been exposed to all these things. Following participation in the project, we asked participants about changing their comfort level QI, and they also reported a 91% increase. So to the meat of it. We're also curious about looking at whether working on this QI project might lead to beginning other QI projects within their health department. And we asked each site whether any new QI projects or initiatives have started in their health department. And overall, half said yes, but quite a few of them had no idea, which is a little bit alarming. The majority of them felt that QI did influence department participation in Coach for DM. In addition, five out of six sites also reported that the new QI initiative was being contemplated in their department. So in addition to this project, this was also getting them engaged in thinking about participating in QI in other areas. And most felt that this was influenced by them participating in this particular project. In assessing the effectiveness of this process, we found that the most effective aspect of the program was the actual development of the QI team, and that they didn't care as much about having a book. So we thought that would be a resource for them to go back to, but the actual developing a team, then followed by having a change facilitator, and if that change facilitator contacted them more often, they were more likely to value that. We also found that they didn't really need prolonged contact with the facilitator over the study period. So this suggests that if you're going for a quality improvement project, which is embedded throughout the entire FAB process, this idea of quality improvement, this could actually be a fairly low-cost initiative. This was the most interesting to me. In terms of change in delivery and outreach, we found that half of DECOs did change their location of services provided. And one even utilized a convenience mart or gas station. So I'm just picturing how wonderful it is if you go inside a gas station and someone's giving you education. It's really creative, I thought. In addition, half of the sites changed the timing of when they were offering services. So some are offering sessions after regular business hours. And initially, they were only offering it during business hours, so it was harder for people to get. While the number of clients did not significantly increase, we did find that the number of healthcare providers who referred patients to DSME services did increase, and the total number of referrals increased as well. So in summary, throughout this project, we found that participants perceived an increased knowledge and comfort level using QI in general, and a significant increased knowledge and comfort with specific tools, particularly PDSA and fishbone diagramming. In addition, most sites are starting to contemplate new QI projects and felt that participation in this project influenced this project. We found there was improvements in service delivery and outreach of DSME services, particularly in expanding locations and times, as well as increased referrals and referral bases, and that developing a QI team was felt to be the most effective aspect in participating in this project, as well as having facilitation of this project. In developing the QI team, it was felt in general could help achieve definitively achievable goals set by the local health department that were accomplished at relatively low cost. We only received $25,000 to do this, and this was given mostly to the change facilitators in the local health departments for transportation out to these sites. And it was relatively low cost to put together these books for the teams. And it may, we hope, create a sustainable change in the culture of QI of these health departments. When asking them how effective they felt QI is improving the performance of your health department, again, we used a Leichhardt scale, and with one being not effective at all, and five being highly effective. And we were surprised that at the initial point of the survey, only 30% of respondents rated that they felt it was effective, which is a little bit alarming. But following this process, respondents rated effectiveness of QI and local health department performance higher, with roughly 96% rating it as a 4 or 5. So they're beginning to see the value of quality improvement. And ultimately, we hope that this will be a continuous quality improvement process that will be embedded in the culture of each of these local health departments and ultimately in the entire state. And this process did accomplish our task of familiarizing local health departments not only with some specific tools of QI, but towards a movement of more continuous quality improvement and in general about QI principles. And this really leads into what you guys were talking about with Domain 9 of the public health accreditation process. And we believe that helping local health departments increase their knowledge and comfort applying QI in their practice will not only help them prepare for accreditation, but will ultimately improve their performance of the health department.